Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and or good night, and welcome to the fifth episode of Courageous Theology. My name is Drew Temple, and I'm your rugged hobbity host, taking you on a journey of mind-bending, fun-filled, theology-laden listening while you relax, commute, or work around the house. On today's episode, we will be talking about depression. Now, depression is something I have personally dealt with at various points in my life, even seeking out the help of my physician in prescribing medication for me. The meds certainly improved my depressive state, but ultimately ended up making me feel sort of dull inside. Not numb, and not certainly not broken, but just kind of dull, like a really dim light on an iPhone set to night mode. Now, not really sure whether or not that analogy is geeky, sad, or both, but let's just roll with it. Depression can be a taboo subject in many Christian and non-Christian circles, but we see throughout history, and even in the Bible, many people dealing with depression, including King David. In Psalm 27, we find David in an anxiety-ridden, depressive state. And just brace yourself, because we're getting ready to read all that psalm. David wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, for whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, or false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And in this psalm, we see that David was broken and saddened deep within his soul. But what do we find towards the end? David says he will remember the better days and look to God for his hope. And in our depressed states, God urges us to seek after him. And the best thing that we can do in those situations is to seek after God. He is not the source of our problems, but he is the solution to them. And the great musical theologian Michael Stipe once wrote that everybody hurts sometimes. And sometimes when we are feeling the weight of a troubling situation, the only thing we can do is to hold on. Sometimes that is all our strength will enable us to do. But God gives us a different type of response than just to hold on. God tells us that in the hardest situations of life, we are to seek after him. His beauty and greatness are more powerful than our pain or our sorrow. Do you know what the best thing about pain is? The best thing about pain is that it is fleeting. Take working out, for example. If you go to the gym, hit the weights, look to get swole, all while listening to Matt Chandler sermons, really, that's still just me then. All right, cool. Well, look, when you are working out, you are experiencing some finite pain. You get breathing heavy, your palms are sweaty, there's vomit on your sweater already, mom's spaghetti, but look, I'm sorry for that, but you work out and the next day comes and you are sore, tired, but somehow still energized for the next workout. The pain is ultimately worth the effort once you look in the mirror and see results. Momentary, fleeting pain is really no match for the reward at the end. So in our moments of pain and suffering, instead of facing problems head on, we try to escape them. It's in our human nature to do so, I guess, but in trying to escape, all we really do is give ourselves bad advice. We try to run away from the pain and then ultimately run away from the reward. No pain, no gain, am I right? So how should we tackle our difficulty and depression, you might ask yourself or out loud like a weirdo? First, we need to remind ourselves of what God has said. In verse 8 of Psalm 27, David echoes God's words to him by saying, "You have said, seek my face." David hears a beautiful invitation in this, in God's word, to seek his face in the midst of adversity and sorrow. It's in these times of pain that we should be more readily available to return to and seek after the one who has granted us life, rest, and salvation. And secondly, we need to remind ourselves that there is something worse than our present situation. In verse 9, David pleads with God to not hide his face from him. The worst thing, the absolute most awful thing David can imagine is not death or loneliness or fear or betrayal, but really the worst thing he can think of is being apart from God. The worst thing in the world is being removed from God's grace. And David reminds himself here of the invitation to see the beauty of God. He reminds himself of the bleakness of life without God. He imagines life without God's favor and acknowledges it as a fate worse than death. And next, we need to remind ourselves that God promises something better for our lives than we can even possibly hope for. And it's ultimately certainly something better than our depression. In the psalm, David looks forward to a brighter future. He asks God to teach him his ways, and he believes that he shall look upon the goodness of the Lord. And David has hope, not that his temporal situations will improve, but that his hope is found in that which is eternal, not temporary. David approaches his suffering with confidence and hope in the beauty of God. He doesn't merely turn to God for help to escape his current situation, but he looks to God for strength and courage and enrichment. Beyond this example of David and his suffering, we have the supreme example in suffering of Jesus. In Mark 14, Jesus prays for strength in the midst of overwhelming distress, but he prays for the will of the Father to be done. Christ knew what was going to take place in the few short hours following his prayer, but he knew what the end was and had it in view. The cross for us is a beauty in the middle of overwhelming darkness. When things are difficult, our goal shouldn't be to escape the pain, but to turn to Christ. It's through the cross that Jesus looks to us and reminds us to bring our pain and suffering to him. He's able to bear it. He is able to withstand it. And ultimately, he will give us the strength to get through our pain and our suffering and our sorrows. And that doesn't mean that suffering or depression won't be painful. It doesn't mean that the temporal end result may not even be our death, but Christ is greater than all of those things. And if you can't tell already by listening to the last couple episodes, I'm a bit of a fanboy of Charles Spurgeon, and there is this great book by Zach Eswine called Spurgeon's Sorrows that I would highly recommend you checking out if depression is something you struggle with. But like me and maybe you, depression is something Spurgeon struggled with for a good majority of his adulthood and his ministry. But even in the midst of his sorrows, Spurgeon said, "I would go into the depths 100 times to cheer a downcast spirit. It is good for me to have been afflicted, that I might know how to speak a word in season to one that is weary." Spurgeon understood that his suffering and sorrows were not an end unto themselves. They were instead trials and tribulations that God was working in him that would be used for Spurgeon's good and God's glory. They were not afflictions meant to be lamented. That's what God has done and is doing for me, and it is what he can and will do for you. But don't be surprised when you fail. In Psalm 73:26, David writes, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." In our failures, our wrestling and doubts, God is there to pull us through and save us. Our hearts and flesh will fail time and time again, but we are not bound to rely on our own strength. We instead serve a God who conquered sin, death, and pain. We have a Savior who can sympathize with our struggles, who bled and died on our behalf. God is the strength of our hearts. He is the rock and firm foundation upon which we can place our hope. There's another Spurgeon quote that I really love, so much so that I tattooed it on my right calf, and it says, "I have learned to kiss the waves that throw me up against the rock of ages." Now, our trials and sorrows are not to be lamented, as I said before, but they should be seen as opportunities to cling closely to Christ. So I want to challenge you just to cling to Christ. Rejoice in the midst of your sorrows and remind yourself of better, brighter days. Even look forward to those better and brighter days still to come. So go sing some psalms, read some Spurgeon, and maybe even get a tattoo with a quote and some waves in a lighthouse. Or maybe just listen to My Lighthouse by Grand Collective. That'd be pretty good too. Well, that's all for today. Be sure to visit CourageousTheology.com for weekly blog posts. Also, stop on by to the website and sign up for our mailing list. There will be goodies coming out to our subscribers in the near future, the very near future, so get on it early. You can also now find us on iTunes and Stitcher, and soon on Google Play as well. Until next time, fight for the faith and strive to be courageous in all things. Sayonara.